they stand for just a moment, man. How many of y'all believe that today, that he will come through for you this morning? I want to hear it. Come on, man. Man, I've seen some of y'all at rock concerts scream a lot louder than that, man. But we're talking about God, man, the eternal Father in heaven, man. How many believe that this morning? There we go. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated, man. Go ahead and be seated. Wow, man. That's what it's about, man. I'm ready to just do some worship, man. Great job, guys, man. That's awesome. Good morning again. My name's Mike Skin. I'm the lead pastor here at Epic Life. And as we talked about and as the song talked about, man, there's a rest that we can find in the refuge of our Father, man. I mean, there's a rest that the Holy Spirit will do in our life when we surrender just to His will. And last week, I want to do a real quick recap as we're talking about this message called Give Me a Break. Because really, when you first hear that, the biggest kind of scene that I've been hearing people say and the communication people have been communicating back to me about this Give Me a Break is they actually initially thought that the message was going to be regarding the Sabbath, because you hear that break, and a lot of churches, they'll talk about the Sabbath day. In studying, I'm realizing that really the Sabbath day was a important tool during the under the Messianic covenant. In other words, back when the nation of Israel and before Jesus, during the Ten Commandments, there was a rest that God had commanded His people. But the Bible teaches us now, under a new covenant with God through Jesus Christ, that there's another rest that we now get to enter into. And that's really what we've been hitting home about. We started the message out talking to our parents and teaching two pretty important principles. One, that we need to be teaching our children how to be still in the presence of our Father. We teach our kids, man, what to do right, what to do wrong, to do hard, to do in school. We teach our kids, man, to, you know, if you're going to play a sport, be good at it, do all these things. But do we teach our children the importance of sitting in His presence like you just experienced this morning? I believe that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is here this morning. I don't know what your need might be. Man, it's tangible. I mean, you can almost cut this place with a knife. It's so thick in this place. And no matter what it is that you've been going through, if we could teach children to experience what you're experiencing right now, that there is freedom, that there is a rest found when we get in to parenting and we teach our children that it's okay to stop, to shut things off, and to spend time in the presence of our God. The other thing we taught them is that we want to teach our children to trust God's word. We teach our children not to follow strangers, not to do all this stuff, man, but do we teach them how to trust God's word? Because if they're learning to trust God's word and they're learning to be still, then when the decision time comes in their life, and it will, because again, we're not raising children, we're raising adults. And there's going to come a time where your parenting skills are no longer needed. And our children, our young adults, will move out and have to make decisions on their own. We have to be teaching our children to trust God's word. We get a rest in that as parents, to know that we trained up our children in the way that God has commanded us to train them up. Last week, man, we had a great time. We talked about moms, man. What a great celebration we had in talking with moms, and a great message in giving you guys just the okay that you're not perfect, but that it doesn't matter whether you're perfect or not, you're God's daughter. No matter what has happened in your life, what is going to happen in your life, no matter what people have said about you, no matter the mistakes that you've made, you're a daughter of a king. And I pray that blessed you last week. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it all right the time. It's learning to spend time at the feet of Christ, at Jesus, and just becoming that daughter. Sometimes we just need to sit at the feet of Christ and know who we are. Today I'm going to talk specifically to men, but I don't really think that this message is really oriented towards men or women. I really believe it's a message that I needed to hear. It's a message I think that many of us need to hear this morning. Primarily we're going to talk about guys, because guys, whether you're a father, whether you're a father-to-be, whether you want to be a dad, whether you want to be successful, whether you're looking at a career, whatever it is, whatever element that you're in as a man, I believe that there are a struggle with rest, that men are under tremendous pressure today. We're under the pressure of being that perfect dad. How many have heard that before? You got to be a perfect dad, and we struggle because our dads aren't doing this, or our dads don't do this, or because maybe you didn't grow up in a well-to-do family, and so you weren't able to go to college and have this job that you dreamed about having, and now you're at this other job that's just not paying the bills, and so there's a lack in your life that you feel, you know what, I'm just not making ends meet for my family. I'm failing as a dad, or I'm failing as a husband. We all have been in that place before. Whether even if you're a single family dad or a single family mom, we're all in that same place where there's so many struggles and there's so many pressures coming from the outside. I mean, because here's the deal. Light's still got to be paid, right? The rent's still got to be paid. All these pressures that are on. And then top that on with having children, and we want our kids to have the life that we didn't have. And so now there's another added pressure in trying to provide a lifestyle for our children that maybe we didn't have that we can't afford. And so there's so many pressures. Then there's the pressure of the job. With the job market kind of up and down, we don't know what the job's going to do, so we want to do our best, so we work overtime and time and a half and time and time and a half on holidays, on vacations, on everything else, and we're saying we're doing it for our families. We say we're doing it so that I can get my, you know, I'm trying to come up, and there's that pressure at work of trying to excel better than everyone else, because when that layoff ticket comes through, we want to make sure our name's not on it, amen? So we've all got these pressures that are on us, not included now with you got to spend time with your extended family, your mom and your dad who maybe you've moved out from, or maybe the in-laws are demanding some time with the grandkids, and they want you over there too. And so you've got so many demands that come from the left and from the right that tend to swallow up our time. I believe that there are two reasons that men struggle with rest, and really we've kind of talked about it. The first one are obligations. Obligations. Too many obligations. Obligations that aren't leading us toward the goals that God has for us. Obligations to our friends, because our friend came over and helped us mow the lawn, then we expect that we've got to go and help them, and now we've got more pressure on us because we've got to get that done. Promises that were made that say, hey, I'll do this, I promise I'll be there, and you're trying to look at your calendar, you're looking at your iPhone, and you're trying to plan all this stuff into one single 24-hour period, and it's just not enough time. There are struggles with obligations, and because of those obligations, it creates a stress in our life as men. I've talked to so many men and women that they can't even sleep at night because of all of this junk and obligations that they've committed to in their life, and they're not finding a rest. The second one is kind of one that, you know, we just all have to have, and that's a lack of direction. That we have direction because of obligations and responsibilities. We're going in so many different directions. There is no laser focus on what we are supposed to be doing. It's not a God-led direction. The direction that we're currently living on is made out of desperation because we're just trying to make it through. And sometimes the direction that we have is created because we're just simply worn out. We want to give up. We want to quit. It's just too much garbage going on in my life that I'm going to throw up my hands and I'm going to say, give me a break. Give me a break. I can't take anymore. It's time to find out this morning why we are not getting anywhere, why our souls, and that's really where we're going to dive into, because I believe this. I believe that when a person is struggling in their physical realm, in whatever it is, whether it be with their family, their marriage, their finances, whatever it might be, it's the result of a spiritual condition. And so this morning, rather than talk about all the outward stuff that's going on, I want to focus us centrally into our soul, our spirit man, and deal with our spirit man and find out that maybe the results of our stress, the results of the life that we're living, the chaos in our life, is a direct result of a spiritual condition, something lacking in our spiritual life. Doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you failed. It doesn't mean any of that. It simply means that our focus has been taken off of something else. I want you to open your Bibles up. I always give you two passages of Scripture, so here's the two passages. First one is open your Bible, your iPhone. Don't pull it up yet, please. Two passages of Scripture that I want you to hold on to. One is Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. I want you to open your Bible up there, your iPhone, your iPad, whatever communication device you use. Open to there. And then also open up to Jeremiah 6:16. Hold your place there, and then go back to Haggai. Here's what the book of Haggai says. The book of Haggai says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Now, that's basically what I'm saying this morning, is look at what's happening to you. Look at your life and look at the direction that it's going. Or that it's been. For some, you're on cloud nine. You're there. Everything's going smooth for you. But others of you, if you were honest, you would say, you know what? It's not where I'm at. I've got too much going on in my life. And I believe God's word for you this morning is to say, hey, look at what is happening to you. You have planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This morning, I believe that's the message. I believe the message for us this morning is that we're putting stuff in our pockets, into our life, and our life is filled with holes. And I believe this. I believe God wants to sew some of them up today. He wants to sew those holes up, man, so that when we eat, we're satisfied. When we work, we're getting what is due us. When we're planting, our harvest is reaping. Some of you, this is a new terminology for you. Understand the seed time and harvest, that God wants you to plant in areas, but you can't plant because the seed that you have currently is not producing a harvest, and yet it's being put into bags. Or y'all remember back in the day, right? When you, I don't know about you, but I've worked a turn row. Does anybody here know what a turn row is? We got some older folks in the crowd. Praise God. Sorry about that, Bear. A turn row is when you have this huge garden and it goes on as far as you can see. The turn row is where the tractor turns around and it goes down and it creates the hump that you plant your seed in. That's your turn row. And we have our turn rows are kind of jacked up right now. Because God wants us to plant seed, but we have no seed to give. We have no seed to sow. We're going, man, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. I'm not reaping a harvest in any area of my life. Let me tell you something, church. Guys, especially, God has created you to create harvest, to have a harvest in your life. And whether that harvest is financial, whether that harvest is spiritual, whether that harvest is in your relationships, you were created to sow seed and reap a harvest. The Bible says in the Old Testament, I didn't put the scripture in, it says two things will never cease from the earth. Never. What does never mean? Never. Two things will never cease. Seed time and harvest. Two things that will never end in our life is seed time and harvest. And the reason why we're not seeing the harvest come up in our life is we're either A, planting the wrong seed, or we're in the wrong harvest field. We're in the wrong harvest field. We're planting in things that we shouldn't be planting in when we should be planting over here. And that's what I want to hit this morning, is that some of us are not reaping the harvest in our life, whether it be financial, spiritual, relational, whatever it is that's in our life, in our marriage, because we're planting in the wrong field. And someone else is getting to reap a harvest that we're supposed to be reaping. Finding rest for your souls can be a struggle if we're looking or we're planting in the wrong place. Taking a break means we stop that which is draining us from the life we were created to live. It means we take a hard look at our spirit man versus our flesh. Who are we serving? Or let me put it back into terms that we're talking about. Where are we planting? Who is it that gets most of our time? What is it that is taking our seed from our life? So I got two points that I want to cover real quickly this morning. I know some of you are going, that's a lie. But it's not. I'm really going to try to move through here quickly, okay? Number one is that there is rest walking in the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Holy Spirit. Everything that we've talked about thus far, man, most people, they connect rest with the flesh, with the physical body. And can I tell you that the Bible says that we are now a temple of the Holy Spirit? We're now a temple of God. And so, though the flesh is willing, or the spirit is willing, the Bible says that the flesh becomes weak. And so what we're feeling when we get worn down, when we're worn out and we can't do any more, is the flesh. And it's because the Bible says if we walk in the spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I would contend with you this morning that if we walk in the spirit and we learn to walk in what God has told us, that we're a spiritual being now because we've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if we'll tune in and begin to walk by the spirit, the flesh has no choice but to come along. And so the seed that we're sowing is all about flesh. It's all about what is good for me and the family. We're worried about all of this stuff, and we don't set time aside, guys. Listen to me, men. We don't take time aside and ask this question. Do some soul searching, praise God. Who am I serving? Who am I feeding? Where am I sowing? Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 15 says this. It says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature. Now, when you see that word sinful nature, it's simply referring to the flesh, to our flesh and bone, the body that's getting worn down. It says, we don't have an obligation to that, to live according to it. Verse 13, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again. Let me ask you an honest question. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of y'all feel like you're a slave to the job? Amen. Yes. Okay. How many of y'all feel like you're a slave to just responsibilities? Yes. Amen. That's me. How many of y'all feel like you're a slave to responsibilities, obligations, everything else? You feel like you're kind of just, this is just the way life is. Life is going to be filled with these responsibilities, with these obligations, no rest, not finding what I'm supposed to be doing or what I'm supposed to be living for. And we get distracted and we get filled up. But the Bible says that we are spiritual beings and we no longer have an obligation to this flesh. But yet we still live according to our flesh. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And that can only be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So what is rest? I wanted to define that in this week's message. Rest means this. It's ceased work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, and recover strength. We're fixing to have a night of rest or a night of refresh here on the 31st. That's the verb. The noun says it's an instance or period of relaxing or ceasing to engage in strenuous or stressful activity. See, the whole bottom line is when we choose not to walk in the Spirit, something happens in us. We choose to walk in the accordance of the way everyone else does it. And we have no purpose. We have no passion. Because we're just paying the bills. We're just being a dad. We're just being a father. We're just being a good employee. We're doing all of these things. And those things are not irrelevant. I don't want you to go quit your job tomorrow and say you're not going to be a dad and all that stuff. That's not the message. And if you're picking that up, you're not picking up what I'm putting down. Praise God. We all look for opportunities to find rest in our life, to take a break from the demands of the responsibilities that's been given to us. And sometimes it's our hobbies, and even in our hobbies, we don't find rest. Funny, I was talking to a family this morning, and they were telling me how they came back from vacation. I'm not trying to call you out. I'm not going to point them out. But they told me that they walked in the door, and it just like, I was just looked at them, and they just looked like, man, they just came out of a firefight or something. I was like, what is wrong? They're like, we just came back from vacation. What? Oh, my goodness. I mean, sometimes we take a vacation and then need a vacation from the vacation because we've exhausted ourselves so much. But do you realize that there is a rest that's found in the Holy Spirit, that when we allow our lives to be Spirit-led, that's what Spirit-led means. We are a Spirit-led church. We are a non-denominational, Spirit-led church. We talk about the Holy Spirit a lot because that's the essence of the creation of who's in us. God's very presence resides in our life. Ephesians 3, 19, or 16 through 19 says, may he grant you out of the rich treasure of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced, watch this, with mighty power in the inner man. And that means by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and your personality. So for some of you guys who ain't got a personality, the Bible says right here, man, that the Spirit can give you one, okay? I'm just saying, maybe you need to spend some time in prayer. Verse 17, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, which means to settle down, to abide, to make his permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and found securely on love. that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and to grasp with all the saints. In other words, with the rest of the church, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it. You see, when we take on Christ in our life and we receive the power of the Holy Spirit into our life, we no longer have to be subject to our flesh, to all of the demands of our life that come around us. We do that either by choice or by obligation or by responsibility. We take those things into our life. And the Bible says here, man, you are strengthened in your inner man through the Holy Spirit. And that's where we want to focus. That's where we want to camp out this morning, is learning to do that. See, this whole passage of Scripture sounds like rest. Look here, verse 19, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all of your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measurement of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That whole passage, if you look at it, is an excellent definition for rest. We're not strengthened in our own strength. We're strengthened in the strength of the Holy Spirit. We get to know the depth and the height and the width of God's love for us in the Holy Spirit. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's not some supernatural weird jig that people do at the church. It's something that comes into us and gives us the power to live life, the life that God has for us, the epic life. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to guide and direct and be in charge of our life. And so we line up everything in our life. Guys, listen to me. When you spend time and understand the Holy Spirit that resides in your life, it gives you a compass on what you should or shouldn't do, what you should commit to, what you shouldn't commit to. This is not talking about sin and all this junk. It's talking about busyness. It's talking about responsibilities and obligations. Now, here's the key. What happens is, when we choose to walk in the Spirit, what happens is this. All of those obligations that are very important, and I'm not telling you to not be a dad and not be a good employee and not be a good husband or all of that stuff. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. When you have the Spirit of God and you tap into a power source that resides in each and every one of us, you know what happens? Everything else falls into place. Everything else begins to fall into place. And so then it's like you have a compass to go by. Because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, I've got my purpose and my direction and my passion of what God has called me to do. Now everything else can come in line with that, and we measure it based upon that compass. What is my purpose? Why am I here? Does this help my purpose? I know people that are so unhappy at their jobs. And they work their jobs and they committed to this job because of obligation, because of responsibility. And they take on these jobs and the job becomes a burden in their life. And if they would just stop for a moment and go to God in prayer and begin to speak to God and begin to listen and tap into that power source that's in them, they would hear the direction that God would have them to take. And it might have been that God never intended for them to be at that job in the first place. But because we are driven by our flesh, we're driven by responsibility, we're driven by obligation, we don't allow ourselves to be driven by what the Holy Spirit who resides in our life is telling us and guiding us and directing us and leading us to live in the life he created us to live. Y'all getting this? Rest is needed to be able to continue in the anointing that God has for his people. Here's an interesting word. The word says anointing. The word anointing is actually, it's of the Holy Spirit. And anoint means to be set apart or set someone apart, to be set apart for a specific task. It's to authorize and equip him or her for a task of spiritual importance. Jesus Christ is set apart by the work of the Holy Spirit to do what he did. For his ministry, for his preaching, for his healing, for his deliverance. And the Holy Spirit now sets us apart as Christians for the ministry to do the same thing. What's that mean? It means that every one of us who have received Jesus Christ and have allowed the Holy Spirit to come into their life, you have an anointing. You have a calling. You have been set apart for a specific task, a specific purpose that only you have, that you have a special anointing. For some, you can go into the Bible and hash this out. For some, you have a gift of prophecy that God speaks to you over people's lives to help guide and direct them through the power of the Holy Spirit in the life that they're supposed to be living. For some of you, you have a gift of healing. You have an anointing of healing that when you lay hands on people, the Bible says that they're recovered. You have a special anointing. We're all anointed to do those things because Jesus commanded that, but some people have a specific. Matter of fact, when you go to the book of Corinthians chapter 14, it tells you all of these gifts, all of these callings that are available to believers. And yet we don't practice it. We don't exercise it. For some, even here this morning, what I am saying sounds foreign to you. Why? Because the church won't teach on this stuff. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Some of us are under a yoke because we're not flowing in the anointing that God has for our life, the calling that we've been set apart to live. We're not operating in that. And because of that, everything else we do creates stress, it creates turmoil, it creates havoc, and we can't understand why all of this is happening. Because God sits back and he goes, look, I'm a gentleman, I'm not going to force myself upon you, but there's a special purpose that you've been called out for. Every one of us have that special calling on our life. We have that anointing inside us that we're called. For some, it's to serve. And the Bible says if you're called to serve, do it well. If you're called to teach, teach well. If you're called to prophesy, prophesy. For some of you, you have an anointing to be a giver, to give. And God says, be a cheerful giver. So we're each called specifically to a divine purpose. We're not here just because of our job. We're not here just to create a family. I was talking with Greg this morning, and we said, you know, it doesn't take much to create a family. It doesn't create much to have children. People are doing it every day out there in the world. So we know that's not God's specific task for our life. But it says that when we line ourselves up to be the men and women that God has for us, and we seek the direction of the Holy Spirit, we seek that anointing that God has specifically for each and every one of us, what begins to happen is everything else falls into play. I don't know why I'm saying this, Jane, but I need you to look up at me for a minute. I'm not trying to embarrass you. You're called to sing. You're called to use that gift to bring glory to our Father. Stop doubting yourself. Stop doubting yourself. You've been called specifically, man, to bring praise, glory, and honor to a king that loves you and has a plan and a purpose for your life. Sorry, just I looked right there. It was right there. Praise God. Did that bear witness? Was something going on with you? All right. We are called for specific purpose. 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22 says this, but if it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast, and watch this, establishes us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and has consecrated and anointed us, enduing us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you have, God establishes you on this planet for a specific purpose. That specific purpose is in alignment with his calling on your life, with that anointing that's on your life. Some of you, can I say it this morning? Some of you are running from that anointing because it's too spiritual. It's too weird. It's like, okay, what is, you know, I don't get it. You're running from it. But you find yourself in situations, the same situation every time, and God wants to use you, and you can't understand why this certain people, why does God always draw these people to me? Because you have an anointing. You have a calling, and God's saying, use it. And we don't. We run from it. And God says, man, I want to empower you to do it. And all it is, it's not you, it's you stepping out in faith to say, you know what, I've got all these obligations, all these responsibilities, but if all of that's going to get on track, if I'm going to be a good husband, if I'm going to be a good employee, if I'm all these other things are going to line up the way they're supposed to line up, then I have got to line myself up with the anointing that God has on my life. So many people miss out on God's call for their life. And I imagine this, guys, let me bring it home. I imagine this, that we're all going to die. It's statistically proven, okay? I'm sorry. It is going to happen. We're all going to meet Jesus one day. Praise God. Face to face, you know, stand at the pearly gates, whatever it is, we're going, okay? 100 out of 100 people surveyed, death is real, okay? And we're going to stand up there, and just in my mind, I can't this isn't biblical. I can't back it up biblically. Just an opinion. All right? So don't write me and say that's not in the Bible. This is just an opinion, okay? Check it out. But I almost wonder how many of us who have a call on their life that are anointed, that are not operating in that gift that God has for them to the body of Christ, because that's why it's given, is to edify the body. And we die and we go to heaven and we stand in line and you know, we've all heard the dreams of whatever. You know, you see hundreds of people, whatever. And you've heard the story, well, some people that we knew that we didn't tell about Jesus to, and they come up to us. But I almost wonder if there's a gift in our life that we have that we're not operating in because of pride or what will everybody think about me or whatever. And there's someone we could have ministered to. There's someone that we could have set free from a bondage or a hurt or a habit or a hang-up in their life. They had to deal with all of their life, and their life was miserable because of it. And you had the gift inside you to be able to bless someone and to be able to pray over someone or to speak a word of encouragement to someone or to bring healing to someone. Or maybe they just needed that ear, and you're just a good listener, and they just needed someone to listen to. You have a gift, church. It's not the pastor's responsibility to get up here and preach the message. I love what the Bible says. The Bible says that we, watch this, it says that we need not to have a teacher. I was thinking about this as I was studying this. The Bible says because of the Holy Spirit that resides in us, we don't even need to have me sitting up here. I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not even supposed to be here. But the reason we have pastors and teachers in the church is because people don't listen and tap in to the Holy Spirit. He says the Spirit of God resides you in so much that you know you don't need to have teachers anymore, because the Spirit of truth teaches you all things. Now, you can look that up. I didn't write the scripture down, but that's the biblical truth. The Spirit will lead us into all truth. Jesus said this when he was talking to the disciples in John 14. He was telling them, hey, look, I'm jetting. I'm out of here. All right? But hey, don't freak out. I've got a lot more things that I need to teach you. And I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is with you. But I need to go away, and you need to stay, because he'll be in you. That's the empowerment. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost he's talking about. And then we all know Acts chapter 2. What happened? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened. And they all received. And interesting enough, it wasn't just the 12 disciples, the ones that he was talking to. It was everyone that was in the upper room with him. 120 people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't just for the disciples. If that's your thinking, that, oh, that was just for the disciples. No, it's for all of us. And now they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and he commands them, go out. God gives us these gifts and callings in our life to go out, to make disciples, not make Christians. I love it with that phrase. We're not called to make Christians. We're called to make disciples. Number two, finding your yes creates purpose. Finding your yes creates purpose. Purpose in your worship God, if you're following along. Too many men are surrounded by what you should do and shouldn't do. Although I know this sounds like the same thing of what I'm saying, but I want you to know you're called for divine purpose. Nothing matters more than eternity. You are the watchman for your family, for your children, for your school, for your community. God has called men to be watchmen, to stand at the gate, to lift up a sword, man, when the enemy comes, because that's what a watchman did. Back in the day, man, you go back into the Bible, man, what happened is that they would set out watchmen over the city, and their responsibility was to stand guard. To stand guard and watch for enemies coming in, or spies to try to sneak in, or someone trying to get in at night. And God has a specific purpose and divine calling on your life, and yet you're so worn down from everything else, you give no thought to the importance, the eternal importance of your call. You are called to be watchmen. Pray for God to throw you where you can be bested. Finding rest for your souls requires a connection much bigger than you. It requires you to be connected to your God. And so this is something I want you to write down. I don't know if I put this in your worship guide, but pray for God to throw you where you can be best used for his glory, because that's what the call is all about, is to be used, not for you, to bring glorification to you, and not to make you a better whatever. It's so that you bring glory to God. And I say the word throw because in Matthew 9:38, that's the literal meaning of that passage. If you look, Matthew 9:38. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him, this word send actually means to throw you, to send more workers into his field, to throw you into the field. Some of us need to get into the harvest field. Some of us need to start planting the right seed into the right ground and into the right to receive the right harvest. The point here is pray. Ask God to use you to the fullest for his glory. It's time for us to have boldness and ask God for the direction of each of our lives. God is not some old mean stepfather sitting on his throne waiting for us to kind of count our beads, man, and when our beads are done, we're done, our life is over. He's up there with purpose for our life and direction for our life. God is not some old mean father. I said that. We can ask for wisdom. And if we'll be still and we'll listen, he'll guide us, that inner voice. And I think that's where we miss it sometimes. I think some of us here, if we're honest, would say, I struggle with hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit because we haven't been taught it. We haven't been taught to listen to that inner voice, that inner Holy Spirit. And what happens is when you begin to learn to listen to that still small voice, I mean, it's really easy to compare what it is to. I mean, first of all, the Holy Spirit will not put you to do something that's contrary to God's word. That's amen right there. I mean, I should have gotten amen all across this building. The Holy Spirit will not tell you to go do something. The Holy Spirit will not tell you to divorce your wife and go see this old girl over here because she meets your needs better. Okay, that's not going to be God. All right? That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ain't going to tell you, man, to be mad at that person and be angry at that person and retaliate against that person for what they did to you. That's not the God. Well, I believe God wants me to know that's not what God says. God says to love them. So God won't go against God's word, or the Holy Spirit will not go against his word. The Holy Spirit will never create anxiety in you. Listen to me. He will never create anxiety in you. He will never create such a need to do it now. Never, never happens. The Holy Spirit always brings peace. Always brings peace. So you'll know that this is what I'm supposed to do. Always brings peace. And it always matches who you are. The Holy Spirit always matches your call, your personality, your person, who God has created you to be. It always lines up to that. He's not going to ask you to do something that's not in your nature, that's not in your character, in your calling, in your the way you were, I'm not going to say raised, but we're each wired differently. And our calling matches that way in which we're wired. We need to find our yes, because yes creates purpose. It's time for the men of God to rise up and ask, what is it am I supposed to do? Which way do I go? We make decisions of what house to buy and what job to take and how to do this and how to do that, but we don't take time to just be still for a moment and listen to the Holy Spirit and to be bold enough to go, I don't get it. God, you're going to have to give me faith to understand this. The disciples did that all the time. The disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, you know, our faith sucks, really. I mean, that's pretty much what they said. Hey, teach us to have faith. And so it's okay to ask God for faith to believe what he's calling you to do. It's okay to ask for faith in wisdom and direction and guidance in your life. I'm thinking this, and I guess I have to say it because it's come back to my mind like twice now. And the other night, I'll tell you what happens when you start listening to the Holy Spirit. It's not always at the opportune times, praise God. You know, I tell Robin, you know, I mean, I'm up generally 12 to 16 hours a day, so God has plenty ample time to talk to me, right? But God rarely does that in my life. I think it was Joey, you and I were talking about this, weren't we? And the other morning, he wakes me up at 1 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was reminded of another pastor. I thought, well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to ask God this. And I said, God, I mean, really, dude? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And I heard God specifically say this. I know what time it is. Duh. Kind of a no-brainer there, right? I mean, God created time. He created night and day. The last time he woke me up, it was at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's like, God, what is the deal? My wife, she is so in tune to the Holy Spirit. She's so awesome because I was telling her this story, you know, that God and I were having this conversation. I said, why can't you just, what time is it and all that? And Robin said, and man, this spoke like just perfect truth. And she said, maybe when you're awake, you're not listening to him. I wonder how many of us that applies to. That when we're awake and we're so busy with everything in our life and our responsibilities and our obligations that we're not taking time to listen to what God is telling us. And so what does he do? When you start listening, here's the deal, man. You start in the little things. When you start hearing the Spirit of the Lord speak to you in the small things, start obeying them. Even if it looks weird or strange, just do it. And then it becomes bigger things. And then what happens is God begins to wake you up in the middle of the night. Praise God. Right. And it's a good thing because he was teaching me. And he was actually, that's where the watchman came from. Because he said, man, I need you to write this down. And I've got a pad that I keep on my end table in my bedroom. So when God wakes me up, I wake up. And sometimes I have to leave the room because Rob gets mad because I turn the light on. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Praise God. I'm like, talking to God. You're going to meet him if you don't turn that light off. It's kind of the things that I get. Praise God. And so just use wisdom, guys and gals. Use wisdom when God begins to speak to you. But he will. He'll do that. He'll wake you up. How many of all, let me ask you this. I'm going to show you something real quick here. How many of all have ever been stirred in the night and don't know why and you woke up? You know what that was? That was the Holy Spirit. See? You have heard him. Or your baby kicking you. I don't know which. Praise God. Right. Somebody said, well, I had pizza that night. No, listen to me. There's a story in the Bible, and I didn't pull this out, but I need to wrap this thing up real quick. But there's a story in the Bible of a prophet, and the prophet was brought to him a young boy that the mother had committed to say, if you give me a child, I'll take this child, and I'll commit him to the, I'll raise him up in the temple. And so he did. He gave him to this prophet. I think it was Samuel. That he gave him to, and I could be wrong, but he gives the boy the prophet, and the boy's sleeping, and the prophet's in another room sleeping, and he hears a voice, and he calls the boy's name, and he gets up, and he runs to the prophet, and he says, yes, sir, yes, master, what can I do for you? He says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. The boy gets up and goes back into bed, gets back in there, gets comfortable, goes back to sleep. He hears the voice again. He raises up, runs to the prophet, and says, yes, sir, what do you need? He said, I have not called you. He said, next time you hear the voice, say this. Yes, Father, or yes, Lord, here am I. And this young man actually was the prophet to be. And God was speaking to him at a very young age. I think he was 10 years old or something, 8, 9, 10 years old. And God was speaking to this young man. And so my challenge to you tonight is that for those of you who say, I've never heard the Holy Spirit, next time you're stirred in your sleep, next time you feel that unction inside you and something's waking you up to say, yes, Lord, here am I. And get your pen and your paper and your Bible out because you're going to need it. God is still speaking to his people. God is still calling people to serve him. Remember I said earlier this morning as we started this off that God is beginning a movement. And I believe the movement is what we're beginning to experience here at Epic Life. And I don't want you to get distracted by empty tables because that's a really bad way to view what God's doing is by looking at man. God is doing something phenomenal in this church. We have seen healings. We have seen baptisms. We have seen people being delivered. We've seen marriages be strengthened. We have watched people who have fallen away come back. God is doing an amazing thing, and it's because not of anything that this pastor here has done or this worship team, though they are phenomenal, it's because we're surrendering ourselves to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And God will do the same thing in your life, men. If you'll take the time to get away from life and spend it and finding out what that yes is for you, that anointing is for you. And again, it doesn't apply just to men. But men, directly, I want to speak to you to challenge you to rise up to be the watchman of your church, to be the watchman of your families and of your neighborhoods and of your communities. Because it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we will be able to do anything in our lives. It is not by the works of flesh, but it's by the works of the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand by the road and look and ask for the eternal path. Listen to me, church. Where the good old way is, then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And the nation of Israel did not walk in it. He was trying to challenge them. Look, you want to find God's direction for your life? Stand at the road and ask, what is the way that I'm to go? And then walk in it. Excuse me. Praise God. Almost done. I heard somebody laugh. Praise God. Walk in it, church. For those who don't know, ask. God cares about you. He wants you to see that there's a life outside of the mundane, ordinary life. That's the whole passion, the whole vision of Epic Life. It's not to do this charismatic, creepy, weird thing that everybody goes, oh, you're spirit-led or something, right? That's not what it's about. It's helping people to live the life they were created to live. The epic life is found in relationship with Jesus Christ in obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's when you'll discover an epic life for you. That's when you find your yes. See, we get in trouble as men. This is where we get in trouble as men. It's because we're going through the mundane. We're not spending time in prayer. We're not spending time searching out our purpose. Because once we find our purpose, let me tell you what happens. Anything else that's counterfeit, we will reject. Pornography. Counterfeit. We'll reject it. Anger. It's counterfeit. We'll reject it. Divorce, it's counterfeit. We will reject it. Things that we're taking our children to do and letting our children do or see or hear or whatever, anything that does not line up to God's purpose and passion that we have in our life for Him, we will reject it. And that's why it's so vital, man, that as believers, we tap into God's purpose, that we stand at the road and we ask, what is the path that you have for me to take? Psalm 62, 5 and 8. My soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So be it. Selah. Stand and understand, church, men, that God is your rock. That He has a divine call upon you. That He is your refuge and your strength. Guys, I want you to see this morning, that this is who you are. We are, all of us, the glory of God. We are the fullness of Christ. He came to rescue us from the life of this world and fills us with a passion and a purpose. His purpose is not burdensome, but full of power and of life. A life that you can find rest for your souls to be the men that He created you to be. Finally, Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, He says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youth will grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Men, I believe the challenge for us today, man, is that we're weary and we're falling. And the reason for that is we haven't stood at the road, as Jeremiah said, and asked, what is your direction for me? What is your direction for my family? What am I supposed to do? God says, man, I will be your strength and your refuge if you'll trust in me and tap into that power source that's inside your heart, inside your life. God wants to do some tremendous things in our life. God wants to rescue us. God wants to take us from the mundane of life and to experience a life full of joy and grace and mercy and peace and power. There's a power that only can be tapped into through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. And so I want to open, as we do throughout the service. The band's going to start playing here in a minute. I'm going to get out of here. But we want to open this place up. I want to open this place up for you to worship. The front is open. You can come up. We do this every Sunday. Man, if you are, I don't care what it is that you're going through, man or woman, and and you need prayer this morning, man, like I said earlier, the Bible says that the prayer of faith brings healing. Where two are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. And when two touch anything, it is established. And for maybe for some of you here this morning, you need some direction. And you're looking for wisdom, or maybe you know the direction you're supposed to go, but maybe you need a confirmation. And maybe you need to say, hey, man, will you pray for me about this? I'm going to come up front here and stand up here, and I'm going to worship, man. I just love to worship, and you guys can join us and worship with us. But if you need prayer this morning, don't leave without taking some time out of your moment. It's like a 3 or 4 minute song to have someone agree with you in prayer. So we're going to open it up, have prayer time. Once that is, Joey will be up here, and he'll dismiss us with a final announcement. Let's worship.